Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio audience and family, we're going right back without wasting any more time, precious airtime. People, keep in mind what we go to get this information out there. We've been in a tornado hit between my house and James's house. James will be on the political cesspool right after this program. Our power is back up now. We're back good. I had to shut our computer down. Well, it was shut down. I had to try to bring it back, and I'm very tech unsavvy. So we've gone through that. TPC is going to be broadcast from our place tonight. In fact, James and Keith are over here. We're going to let them use our stuff. Of course, we're going to charge them. They're going to have to really pay. They're going to take me and Gene to a steakhouse, of course. But anyway, people are going to go right back. We're bringing on Larry Bowen, another precious brother, another Liberty survivor, former president of USS Liberty Association. We'll go right back to him, and Gene's going to take over. So go ahead, Bob. Excuse me. Go ahead, Larry and Gene. Go ahead. Go ahead, Larry.
Hi. Well, thanks, Gene. I hadn't heard from the wives' point of view, other than my wife, who's we've been married 54 years, and I know that she's gone through hell and had to put up with a lot of the trauma and anxiety that I've had. Most of the crew, if not all of the crew, suffers from post-traumatic stress syndrome. And it's a disease.
Understandable. Why not?
And they, those of us who've been diagnosed with it have to deal with it every day. And of course, our wives have to deal with it too. So God bless those women that have, put up with us and, continue to live with us. But Gene, I don't know if you've got any specific questions for me or not.
Last week,
Bob Scarborough and I. Okay, then go ahead and I'll try and
answer
for you.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Whatever you're talking about Bob, and then I'll ask you a question. Go right ahead, please.
Okay. Yeah. Bob Scarborough and I both came on Blood River Radio and talked about what we went through the day of the attack and what we've been going through as the aftermath. For the past 56 years, we've tried unsuccessfully to get our government, Congress, to conduct a full impartial investigation into what, that tragic event back in June 8th, 1967, and it's fallen on deaf ears. So we haven't given up. We continue to contact congressmen and senators, trying to get them to bring it on the floor and get some traction. But most of the congressmen and senators are bought and paid for by the Israeli lobby, so they don't take a chance to come out and speak about the liberty. But if your listeners out there contacted their representatives and tried to get them to open up about the USS Liberty, that might, add a little more pressure. So I'd encourage them to do that. And now, Gene, you said you had a question for me?
Yes, sir. The question I have, and it's seems like it should have been answered a long time ago, has the Veterans Administration done anything at all for y'all, for either you or any of the other crew members that you've heard of? Have they offered any help for mental problems or, physical or anything? Has the VA done anything for y'all?
Well, Sharon Benkert, when she talked about Joe and what he's gone through, had an awful time trying to get the VA to do anything at all because they didn't want to talk about it. The VA, I've got a primary care doctor through the VA, and that doctor is a typical general practitioner and, you know, listens to my problems and prescribes medication. But the VA, other than that, you have to fight tooth and nail to try and get compensation out of them. Sharon mentioned that about Joe, where he hadn't been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress syndrome. And he finally did, and he started getting some compensation from the vet, you know, from the VA. But, you know, for the, you have to bring it up. They're not going to bring it up and try and do anything special for you. You have to bring it up individually, and it's almost like you're begging them to listen to your story. You list all of the items that you think are pertinent regarding your health and what you've been going through mentally, and then they challenge everything as you submit it. So I've been fighting with them now for about 6 years, and like everyone else, I was active duty for 21 years, and then I got out and I was working as a defense contractor. So I listened to what the admiral told us when he said we're not to talk to anybody about it. We'd be threatened with imprisonment or fines or both. So for about 50 years, I didn't say anything to anyone. My wife, any local news or anyone else. No, you couldn't. And that's what's frustrating, you know. I mean, because it was so, you know, you almost feel like a second-class citizen because you don't have any support. And, you know, we didn't have support on June 8th.
You volunteered to lay your life on the line for this country. This country turned against you and brought in a foreign country to exterminate is it 294 members of the crew of the Liberty, and exterminate our own military personnel. They failed, and then they made sure that nothing was said about it with threats and dispersing the crew members all over the world, to duty stations all over the world. And the Veterans Administration was told not to help. The media was told not to do anything about it. And that, as I've said over and over again to people that I've told about this, this is one of the most disgusting, horrible things that the United States government has ever done in the history of a lot of horrible things that we've been suckered into wars that we had no business being in, and other things like that. But I think this ranks down near the bottom of the list. It just has to. And that's what I was wondering. That's why I asked you about the VA, if they've offered any help at all. And obviously they're on the same page as the government in Washington and the Navy Department.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things, you know, on the day of the attack, the USS Saratoga and the USS America, both aircraft carriers, launched aircraft to come to our aid, and twice they were recalled to bring them back on deck. The you know, that's when you've got a ship that's under attack, and someone is sending aid via, you know, jets coming off from the aircraft carriers, and then have them recalled. I mean, that's treasonous.
It is. It is.
I don't know how they were able to live with that. You know, I mean, we
Because they wanted to keep their job and their pension. It's simple.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
Right here.
So, yeah, that's all I had, Gene.
Well, Larry, thank you very much. No, you said you don't know how they can do it. It's simple. To get people at that upper level of the government, upper level of the Navy Department, the Marine Corps, Department of the Army, Air Force, whatever, you have to almost have no soul at all. You will sell your soul to the highest bidder. And the same thing for that upper level of government, that you have no soul, that money and power are the only thing that matters. And those of us that were way down the ladder at the lower end of the echelon of the military or civilian contractors or whatever, we're just sacrificial lambs to keep these people in power. And so they can have their office and their cushy apartment in D.C. and whatever, wherever, and their huge pension when they retire. And they don't have a soul. They don't really care how many people are sacrificed to keep them in power. And that's what's so frustrating to people that join the military with good intentions, that we've always heard that we should be patriotic and volunteer to defend our country. And then your country not only turns their back on you, they set up a crooked, horrible deal with another country to have you destroyed. And our break is coming up. We'll come back just in a few minutes.
Thank you, Jim.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, we've done this, like we said, we've done the Liberty several years. God bless me, I was able to go down to Pensacola, Florida, to the Liberty Association 2 years ago. We did one hell of a broadcast down there. Sam Bushman carried him for an hour or so on a Friday. We only broadcast on Saturday. The next day, Saturday, Blood River, that's before we went to 3 hours, we carried them 2 hours, and we switched it. We got him on to James's Political Suspect program. And by the way, James is not going to have to come over here. He just sent me, for all of our Blood River Radio audience, we have a lot of the same, share a lot of the same audience. His power is back up too. But what happened was, if you noted any, if there was any discrepancy in noise or transmission. We had a tornado, and a tornado went through somewhere between me and James's house. We live as a crow flies, probably 20 miles apart, 25 miles apart. But that's what we do. And he was going to buy me a steak for him using our stuff. But now his power's back up, so I said, there goes my steak. But anyway, we're going to try to get Joe up. Joe Benkert, also a he was a veteran, Navy veteran. He got out as an E-7 because they wouldn't let him go up to E-8. So is Joe available?
Yes.
Joe, this is your Blood River Radio, brother. Go ahead and welcome to Blood River. We're trying to get the news out for what happened to you guys in Liberty. So if you've heard your wife talk, your precious wife, would you like to take up and would you like to add, what would you like to add to what your wife said, Joe?
No, I have no more to add.
Talk about your experience.
Was that well, Joe? How are you? Just before I let you go, then, how are you feeling today, Joe?
Doing well.
Do you and you know, Joe? Why do you feel? This is probably a rhetorical question. Before we go switch back to Sharon, how do you feel? I know this is probably a dumb question. When you were in the Navy, you were probably a bright-eyed and bushy-tailed 19 or 20 year old. What has your attitude changed before to the United States government, the Israeli government, what they did to you? What's the difference between now, the way you feel toward the government now, and the way you did what 60 years ago when you joined the Navy?
I don't feel any different now than I did when it happened. I felt pretty bad when it happened, so nothing much has changed.
Yes, sir. Your wife was telling me that you were doing some color guard activity last week. Is that true? Am I just thinking of somebody else?
I'm not sure what you just asked.
I think there was some ceremonies last week in Florida, where you live in Florida. And I have one question I've been wanting to ask. I forgot. Listen, there was some late. It's my information. I wanted to ask this even last week. Governor DeSantis, Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, everybody thinks he can walk on water almost. It's been my information that he turned down. He would not he wouldn't speak to some. There was some of the United States Ship Liberty veterans tried to get an audience with him, and he turned them down. That's been my, am I right or wrong? Do you, this is for Bob, Ron, and Joe. Do y'all know anything about that?
I don't know anything about it.
Okay, maybe I'll have to look into it. I've been told.
This is Larry, and I didn't know anything about it either. I'm not surprised.
Well, okay.
There's several books that have been written about the subject.
I was going to bring up. Oh, sorry. I was going to bring up one thing, if I'm allowed here right now.
Sure.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
The very fact, my very first visit with the VA, with the Veterans Administration, was, I think it was January or February 1968. Of course, nobody recognized post-traumatic stress disorder that back then, but I got to talk to a psychiatrist from Lincoln, Nebraska. He flew all the way to Hot Springs, South Dakota, to the VA hospital, to talk to patients. That's the way they worked it back then. But I will tell you this. There's times I get pretty upset with the VA and the way they handle things. But back then, they were most concerned. The biggest thing I wanted to bring up here today is that when I went to the VA hospital there in Hot Springs, South Dakota, in I believe January of 1968, they were more than willing to help me. But they had to call Washington, D.C., because they didn't even know the attack had happened. I started talking about it, thinking they knew, and they said, no, we're going to have to confirm this never happened. I said, okay, how are you going to do that? We'll call Washington, D.C. So they called Washington, D.C., and Washington, D.C. confirmed that it did happen. So So that's how out of the loop even the VA hospitals were back then.
Dang.
So it was just a total news blackout, a blackout of everything about that. And yeah. That was what was so disgusting about it.
These people. Yeah. The thing I'd like to put across to these people more than anything, and I don't think the process has changed any. I worked for the VA Medical Center here in Sheridan, Wyoming for 23 years. I learned a few things, the ins and outs of things, But what the VA did for me was to change my diagnosis from what this first psychiatrist I've ever seen, he called it something like psychoneurosis with anxiety reactions or something to that effect. Well, as soon as PTSD become the law or the regulation and recognized as a real problem, then they changed that diagnosis to PTSD. The thing I'd like people to know is that when you go to file a claim, my strongest suggestion, and it's personally just my suggestion, the real help that I got over the years was from the VFW. Not saying the other ones won't help, but I'm just saying this is the one that helped me the most. The VFW,
well, now
that, I'm not going to get into that too deep. There's just some just as good as the other, so I don't want to get into that too deep. But there was help from the VA then. There was a lot of help. They just didn't know what happened. That's all. They finally had to be.
Oh, no.
You know,
they were in the dark like everybody else.
There was even, yeah, they were in the dark. They called. I was a complete basket case. There isn't any doubt about that. And only my first wife could ever explain what it was like to live around me, because I don't even know. Now, that sounds pretty bad to say about yourself, but I know that I was acting in a pretty strange way, and a lot of things were pretty unacceptable, and I admit to it. Our trauma doctor, the trauma doctor that I had at the Hot Springs VA Hospital, they got me a specialist. She told me, she looked at the photo of the torpedo hole. I told her where how close I was to the explosion. And she says, you know, Ron, we cannot tell you what happens to a body that has to, that is exposed to that tremendous pressure change, which it was, a tremendous pressure change. I think that's what affected me more than anything. So, yes, I want to make it very sure, very, very important. It's very important, pertinent for you to know that they will help. And if they haven't changed any regulations, any survivor that I knew aboard the ship that was close to me or even in my proximity can actually use my medical records to prove their case. That's, as far as I know, that still works. And they are allowed to call me anytime they want to, and I can give them permission to use my medical records to prove theirs.
Well, that's wonderful that you've got that information that they can use. And thank goodness you weren't any closer to the explosion than you were. But I think, just from my opinion, anybody that was on the Liberty from the bow to the stern needs to have special help for what they went through. Because, I mean, the fighters that came in the first round before the torpedo exploded, they were strafing the entire ship bow to stern. And the people that were caught out on the deck were machine gunned and had napalm and rockets and everything hitting the superstructure of the ship. And so any crew member on the Liberty needed help for going through something like that. And it's mind-boggling that the government and various agencies in the government have turned their back on the people for as long as they could.
Well, folks, we hear the music now. We're going to our next to the last break, and we'll be right back with the Sailor as soon as this break is over, folks.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm John Schaefer. Former President Trump is calling his criminal indictment a travesty of justice.
The ridiculous and baseless indictment of me by the Biden administration's weaponized Department of Injustice will go down as among the most horrific abuses of power in the history of our country. Many people have said that. Democrats have even said it.
Trump's remarks at the state GOP convention in Georgia come a day after the Justice Department unsealed a 37-count indictment against him. He'll also make a campaign stop in North Carolina this evening. Saudi Arabia and the United States are announcing a 24-hour ceasefire between the Sudanese armed forces and rapid support forces. According to a statement from the Saudi Foreign Ministry, that ceasefire began this morning. Ted Kaczynski, known as the Unabomber, was found dead in his prison cell today at the age of 81. He had been moved to a medical facility in North Carolina in December of 2021 due to his failing health. Here's former FBI Special Agent Clint Watts.
They actually allowed the media to print his manifesto, and that is what broke the case open, because his brother, Kaczynski's brother, was the one that read the manifesto and recognized the writing. So it was a remarkable investigative step.
Kaczynski evaded capture for nearly 20 years. His 16 bombings resulted in 3 deaths and a number of injuries before he was arrested in 1996. President Biden addressed the largest pride celebration ever held at the White House today.
You are loved. You are heard. You are understood. And you belong.
He commended the LGBTQ community for their bravery and their inspiring impact on the world. The NHL's Stanley Cup Final Game 4 is tonight. The Florida Panthers host the Vegas Golden Knights. Florida won Game 3, making it a 2-game-to-1 series with Vegas still in the lead. Tonight's game is at 8 p.m. Eastern. This is USA News.
Right now, you can eliminate odors, mold, mildew, bacteria, and viruses in your home with the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm uses oxy technology that naturally sends out O3 molecules that seek out and destroy odors. The Thunderstorm doesn't mask or cover up bad smells, it eliminates them, leaving that fresh, clean smell, just like after a thunderstorm. The Thunderstorm is small, plugs right into the wall, and fits in the palm of your hand. Put one in your basement, bedroom, family room, kitchen, or anywhere you want clean, fresh air. It even includes a USB cord for your car or truck. Right now, save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack for whole home protection. That's 3 units for under $200, a fraction of the cost compared to other air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code USA3 to save $200. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Use USA and the number 3. Shipping is free.
Let me tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio audience, we're trying to give you power to the you, the people, but power through information. That information, we're going to give you some gruesome information, but you need to listen to this, what Ron Kukol, what he went through with the sailors, recovering during the body. He ran the body recovery operation after the Israelis did everything in their power to sink that ship. So go ahead, Ron. Don't hold back anything, brother.
Okay, it was about 1400 in the afternoon when the attack began. That would have been 2 o'clock p.m. in the afternoon in the Middle East. And I guess I don't want to shorten this, because I wanted to make it abundantly clear the power and the miracles that occurred that day. My particular personal miracle is this. From the time the captain got on the 1MC, which was the ship's intercom, and he said, prepare for a torpedo attack, I knew what I had to do. I got up from my desk. I had a supervisor. I was a supervisor of the of a certain part of the communications crew. Really, what I did is really not that important right now. But anyway, I was a supervisor. There was not enough room for my desk where I belonged, up on the one deck below the main deck. So I had to go down to the second deck below the main deck, and that's where my supervisor's desk was. So when the captain came across the 1MC, and please, those that have any belief, those that have faith, please hear this. Please, please, please. Because you're talking to a man that has been through a lot of frustration telling this story. I'm going to tell it again. God has asked me to do it, and I'm going to do it. I went to my equipment. I didn't get on my knees. I just stood there with my head down, prayed for my life. Knew that this, I kept telling myself, I don't know why this is happening to me. It's almost like this only happens in the movies. Well, why is this happening to me? But that's the kind of stuff that went through my head. And I finished my prayer, started to walk back to my desk. And now, this part of this story, if you have faith, if you understand the power of God, you'll hear me. If you don't, you may not. Please don't anybody call for a straitjacket here. What happened to me on the way back to my desk is I heard this voice, and this voice said, get down and get down now. Well, I didn't move fast enough, folks. I know that I didn't. I know I'm not the person who put my body to the deck only about 3 to 4 seconds before the torpedo exploded. My guess is I was about 60 foot from the torpedo, and I want to tell you right here and now, I was put from a standing position in front of my desk, flat on deck, with my nose to the deck, about 3 or 4 seconds before the torpedo exploded. Does that make any sense to anybody here? It should. It means that there had to be a supernatural power that put me onto that deck just seconds before that torpedo exploded. What's it? And that's exactly what happened. When it exploded, I heard the shrapnel flying through the air. Little did I know that almost everybody in that compartment was being killed. They were gone almost instantly. There was two or three, Bob Scarborough being one of them. Somehow we managed to escape. Well, it's not somehow. It's the power of God. It's always been the power of God. And as soon as we start to admit, all of us, every single one of us, that it was the power of God that saved that ship. It was not us. It was not us. We were an instrument, yes. But the power of God saved the USS Liberty from going to the bottom. That's my story.
It's a hell of a story.
It certainly is an emotional one. And very well told. And if somebody out there is not a believer, then if they can't hear that, your recounting of what happened, there's probably no hope for them. That is very, as I said, a very emotional story, a very truthful story, and extremely well presented. The facts of what happened to you and so many of the other crew members that day. In fact, the entire crew was saved. The ones that weren't killed outright. An explosion like that in the side of the ship.
Yes.
An explosion like that in the side of the ship. It should have gone down, but it didn't. And as you said, the people that were working to save that ship and salvage it were instruments of God and able to do their work because I guess his hand was over them that day. And he knew what a travesty and what a horrible thing had occurred. I don't think he could let y'all go down. So,
And the trauma doctor did tell me one more thing. You know, she kind of treated me the first half hour of kind of a attitude, like, oh, I've heard this story before, on and on and on. So as when we finished up, I happened to have a magazine with a picture on it, a photo of it, of the ship and the torpedo hole, which was big enough you could have drove a semi through it. So I just showed it to her offhandedly, which proves the point that a photo is sometimes worth a thousand words. And she asked me if she could keep that magazine. Well, that gave me the clue right then and there that, oh, I got her attention finally. So, got to tell you, folks, there is no way whatsoever I could have accomplished supervising the recovery of those bodies down there, 25 of them, without the power of God holding me up. There's no way. That was verified by my trauma doctor. She said, you're not going to remember what happened. You're not going to hardly remember what you did or how you did it. But I know that God was there, and I was the instrument. That's it.
Would have to be. He would have to be there. I mean, how could you go through something like that? You weren't running an ambulance out on the highway where there was a wreck. I mean, these were your shipmates. These were people you knew. and had served on them for, you know, I don't know how long your cruise was, but you'd been on this cruise with them. You eat together, the sleeping compartments are close together, the jobs you have on board ship are close together. It's not like they just picked a bunch of strangers and threw them in there willy-nilly and let them go to work. Y'all were like a brotherhood, a fraternity, a team, whatever you want to call it. There was a closeness there. And when you have something like that happen,
it was.
And you see your team members literally destroyed and left in pieces, that has got to affect you. It has got to.
It has. My wife pretty much explained it. My first wife could have explained it a lot better because she lived around me during the most explosive time of it all. As a matter of fact, when I got home, I don't think I went to work for, two or three years. I actually just spent my time hunting and fishing, anything to relax. And yes, I got way too deep into alcohol. I'll admit it. That's a done deal. That's over with. And what's left for me now, because I'm not on the board of the Liberty Veterans Association. I was let go 2 days ago when they voted in a new board. So there's only one thing left for me to do that I'm very, very antsy about, is to convince the people that are listening that the power of God, the hand of God, was on that ship from the time they started to attack to the time they left. He was there. He's always been there. And I was better at it. I do offer this. If you listen to Pastor Chuck Baldwin on LibertyFellowshipMT.com on Sundays at 2:30 in the afternoon, you're going to get a wealth of information that you've never heard. And maybe, just maybe, you'll learn some information that you were taught in the Bible, for example, that wasn't exactly true if you listen to him and listen to his sermons that he backs with Scripture. I do recommend personally that you listen to him. Thank you.
He's been on our program twice. It's been probably been a couple of months, but yes, he's a we talked to him years ago when I used to be with the political cesspool. Yep, he's the real deal. But
yes, he is. Yes, absolutely.
So Gene, would you like to go back to Larry? What would you like to do, Gene?
Oh, that's fine. If Larry has anything that he would like to say, I'd certainly like to turn the program over to him. This is an opportunity for them to get the word out, make any type of statement that they want to. It's unfiltered. It's not, the Blood River Radio is not going to condemn them and have them and never be heard from again. Blood River Radio is the one that's trying to get the word out for them. So, Larry, if you'd like to pick up and go with anything else that you'd like, please do.
Well, as Ron mentioned, we all had our demons. Some of us still have some of those demons. And, PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome.
We have to go to our last commercial break, Larry.
And just hold it back until after the break, please, Larry.
Be right back, folks.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning. It smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue.
Here, Blood River Radio. Family, we're doing the best we can. This has been a really we've always talked about, kind of proud about being able to fly by the seat of our pants in Blood River, but this has set a record for having us fly by the seat of our pants. A little tornado between me and James, where James broadcast in Oakland, Tennessee. I'm in Memphis. Knocked power out, his power out. Our guests, like Larry Bowen, being knocked off the phone. We had to get him back phone and we'll use my cell phone while the show's going. But it's just live radio. And we'll do anything we have to do. Not trying to be dramatic, not trying to take credit, but we're just trying our best to get out what Larry's doing. And I'd like to ask Larry to come back. He give his story about what happened down there. I know he was one deck below the top side. And when he's through, maybe he can tell us what can we do, how quick can we do to get this message out. I think we need to go to Washington, D.C. on the steps myself of the Capitol building and Rose. Holy hell. But with that, we're going to go right back to Larry. Go ahead, Larry. Take off, brother.
Well, I want to thank Blood River Radio for allowing the crew to, you know, tell our story, for the wives to come on and tell their stories, and to, you know, just broadcast to the American public the truth about the U.S. of Liberty. It was not an accident. It was absolutely planned out. The Israelis overflew us from 6 in the morning until almost 1400 or 2 in the afternoon when the strafing started. So they knew exactly who we were. They knew what we were doing, and they didn't want us there to begin with. So they just came out and murdered 34 American sailors and crew members and wounded 174 others. We've been living with it for the past 56 years, and we would ask your listeners to, you know, contact their representatives in Congress, ask them about the USS Liberty, see what kind of a response you get. We've sent letters. We've visited, you know, senators and congressmen in their offices in Washington, D.C. And, you know, to a person, they've been almost noncommittal. So, you know, hopefully your listeners will have better luck than we've had. And I know you wanted Ron to close out your program with a prayer. I don't know how close you are to the end, but
we've still got about 10 minutes. Yes.
Right.
Yes. We still have about 10 minutes. I was going to say, and thank you for reminding us of that, because we certainly wanted to do that. I'd like to also add, I have a report from Admiral Thomas Moore. He was the Chief of Naval Operations, former Chairman of Joint Chiefs. He's been really on our side in this issue. Also, This report also contains, Gene, if you probably didn't hear this last week, General Raymond G. Davis, United States Marine Corps. He was the former assistant deputy commandant, assistant commandant of the Marine Corps, Rear Admiral Merlin Starling, Navy Ambassador James Atkins. Some really heavy hitters were in this report right here. I'd like to tell our listening audience, if you can, if anybody would like a report of this, until the money runs out, I will try to get copies of this report. And it's got a lot of stuff in here, and you could take this and try to take it to your Congress. I have very little faith in these suckers. For instance, our United States Senator here in Tennessee, he's not a state senator, United States Senator. He's just signed on board with this Biden's anti-Semitic crap, you know. And that means, and I'm not repeating myself, but what we've done tonight with this program, the two-hour program with the Liberty in the last 2 weeks, they consider that anti-Semitism, folks. They really do. But I'm just going to say, if anybody would like a copy of this, I would try to get it to you the best I can until the money runs out. But anyway, back, Gene, have you anything to say? Because we have about 8 minutes left before, well, actually about 7 minutes before we go, before the pastor can take us out in prayer. Go ahead, Gene.
No, I'd like to turn it over to the crew members and give them all the speaking opportunity they need or they want. And it's what you said, the government officials are under the thumb of the Israelis, and when they pass laws that say you cannot broadcast or tell or print the truth, it tells you who the liars and who's running the dictatorship. That's what they do in a dictatorship, that anybody that tries to present the truth is suppressed and sent to concentration camps or the Russian gulag or whatever they want to do to them. To suppress the truth. So this proves beyond the shadow of a doubt that the people that are covering up for the attack on the Liberty are liars, whether it's our government, the Israeli government, the news media, whoever, or congressional people. They have proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're liars because they want to punish the people that are telling the truth. And that's a sure sign of who's telling the truth and who's trying to cover it up right there. So Larry or Ron, I know Joe had to leave us, Joe and Sharon, but Ron or Larry, if there's anything else y'all would like to add, I will get out of your way and let you take care of that. And then, as we were saying, Ron, Eddie, you're watching the time closer than I am, and please allow enough time for Ron to close with a prayer at the end of the last segment and the last hour that we have today.
I tell you what, dude, I'm going to read a couple of points from this report by the Admiral Thomas Moore, and just to not keep repeating myself too much, Admiral Thomas H. Moore, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs, chief of naval operations, I think it's about as high as you can get, General Raymond G. Davis, former assistant commandant of the Marine Corps, on and on and on, and it says, we, the undersigned, have undertaken an independent investigation of Israel's attack on USS Liberty, including eyewitness testimony from survivor and crew members. It goes on and on. I just want to note the people to know the caliber of professionals that put out this report. I'm going to read a few points of this to sink into our listening family, our listening audience, and then we'll go to some of the things they found in this investigation. And this is just a few of this big report. Then we can go, we'll get Pastor Ron Kukol to take us out in prayer. Okay, it says that. Hereby acknowledge this attack, the cover-up. It's a cover-up, he says. Hereby find the following. On June 8th of 1967, and this just shoots the hell out of the mistake, the lie that it was a mistake. After 8 hours of aerial surveillance, Israel launched a two-hour air and naval attack against the USS Liberty, the world's most sophisticated intelligence ship in the world, inflicting 34 dead, 174 crewmen, casualty rate of over 70%. That is, and the Israeli air attack lasted approximately 25 minutes, during which time unmarked Israeli aircraft dropped napalm. That's another point I like to mention. And I've said this before on the radio, and I've been told I was right, I think, by Larry. It's the first time in the history of the United States Navy that a Navy ship has been hit by napalm. And The only person to ever do it, the only foreign power to ever use napalm on an American ship, was our most trusted, our most beloved, precious ally, Israel. Hit him with, says, fired 30-millimeter cannons and rockets to our ship, causing 181 holes, more than 100, which were rocket size. Survivors estimate 30 or more sorties were flown. I'd like to say this too. This isn't in the report, but I'm just going to add this before we go to prayer. Those Israeli planes, too, people, after all these hours of surveillance, they machine gunned the stretcher bearers. They machine gunned the medics. They machine gunned anyone trying to go to the aid of the wounded on the ship. Sailors were burned alive. Arms, legs blown off, eyeballs blown off, and they even machine gunned the rafts the sailors put in the water trying to escape. And the last thing I'll say before we go to prayer, it's my understanding that there's a museum in our beloved Israel, and they have one of these life rafts that had the hell shot out of it. They have it so proudly displayed on display in their museum over there. And I would just like to add this, too. For all our Southern Baptist people out there, all these people who still worship Israel, God forbid, God only forbid it ever happens again. God only forbid. I hope it happens to a Judeo-Christian, and they send their body back, 100 pieces in a bag, and dump them on your house and your church and say, here's your son, pick up the body parts, because we don't give a damn, because we're Israel. We can get by with anything. Now I'm going to shut up. Pastor Kukal, if you will, take us out in prayer, brother.
Thank you. Please,
yes, sir.
Folks, remember, before I begin, please remember libertyfellowshipmt.com. Please hear the truth. Father in heaven, we've been with you for so many years. You've been with us. You've carried us. You've carried us through one thing after another. Impossible odds. Impossible anything. Things that just could not happen had you not been there. The very fact that we were sent 1,000 miles to get the ship repaired and still the ship did not go down, I attribute to you. I leave this entire attack to you, Lord. I've done it for years, and it's always worked out just fine. I lift it up to you one more last time right here on Blood Radio, asking your intervention. It's always happened. It's always been there. How it's going to end is beyond me. I just lift it all up to you, Christ, in Christ's name, I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much. I'll tell you what, we have carried this program from wall to wall. We'll be running out of time any second. But I would just like to salute you, and I'm sure I know Gene and our listening audience feels the same. I'm saluting you right now. I love you to death, your brothers. You can always call us, Blood River Radio. I think you guys have my phone number. You can give me a message to eddie@bloodriverradio.com. And if you can ask me a question, Gene a question, we have other co-hosts. You can get a question to us. Anything we can do to come to your aid, we will always do. We will never turn you down. I can't thank you enough, and I especially like to thank the wives for coming on tonight. For years, we wanted to, like, and Gene emphasized that. He felt the same way I did. It's just spread out like a growth of mold. It covered all the family, the wives, the sisters, the brothers. Well, folks, we've run completely out of time. Please pray for the survivors of USS Liberty and their family. Pray for Blood River Radio. Pray for Liberty News. With that, thank you guys for coming on. Thank you. Thank you, Bob. I know you couldn't come on, but thank you, Larry, Joe, Sharon, and Ron, and Gene. Thank you, everybody. Good night, everyone.